one of the dangers about being Swedenborgian, and I grew up in fifth or sixth generation Swedenborgian, is that we can get very caught up in the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg, and all the stuff, and look at the world, and get separated from being present to life, and being present to the Bible, and being present to the Word, because we're paying so much attention to the very deep writings that Swedenborg blessed us with. At the same time, it's also one of the things that makes me the most excited about being Swedenborgian, which is that I'm a tinkerer. I like to play with, I like to figure out why things happen and figure out why they're doing what they're doing and why the world works the way it does. I was the kid in high school, that set physics records and blew up labs and, all that stuff. And for me, one of the things that's really powerful about Swedenborg's writings is it gives us this insight into the spiritual world. This almost, he's a scientist, so it's almost a scientific insight into this is connected to this and this is connected to this. Inside of that, as you start to read Swedenborg's theological writings, you're going to find lots of references to something called correspondences. So there's a correspondence to this, there's a relationship with things between the spiritual and the natural world. According to Swedenborg, everything around us has a spiritual correspondence. Everything. Every tree, piece of grass, bug, has some kind of spiritual correspondence. Now that may seem like a big thing, but let me talk a little bit about the definition of correspondence. So what is he actually talking to? Well, correspondences can mean communication. And in some ways, that's what he's talking about, the communication of the spiritual world. But the one that I find most interesting is another definition of correspondence that I found in the dictionary. And that is a correspondence, a function such that every element of one set, that for every element of one set, there is a unique element of another set. So I'm going to say that one more time because it's a function and stuff, and I get lost. Correspondence, a function such that for every element of one set, there is a unique element of another set. So in this case, one set is the natural world, and the other set is the spiritual world. So for everything in the natural world, there is something unique in the spiritual world. Now the first question that this brings up when you start to look at it is, why? Why is there a spiritual component to everything in the natural world? To understand this, we need to think about the nature of the natural world and how it's connected to the spiritual. We often think of the natural world as being in one place and the spiritual world being in another place. Or we think of it as them somehow coexisting with each other in the ether. They're kind of meshed together. We grow up in this world and we end up in that world. So that's how a lot of us think about it naturally. According to Swedenborg, the relationship is actually much closer. The natural world is actually a function or a result of the spiritual world, meaning it's derived from the spiritual world. You could think of the natural world as a paper-thin crust on the surface of something much larger. We exist in this thin crust without any real understanding of what lies right below the surface. This can be hard to swallow at first glance, but everything is just this little outer edge. But is it really that hard to believe? We have this earth. If we think about the earth for a minute, the earth, our entire existence on the earth exists in the top 1 mile of an object that is 4,000 miles in radius. So it goes down 4,000 miles in our entire existence, everything that we know, everything about the earth, almost all of it. We have theories about what it is below that, but our reality is this little crust that goes across the top of the earth. One of the things we used to think of matter as one thing and the light and energy as another thing, and most scientists will tell you now that they're all, it started with Einstein talking about it, that all of it is energy. This is energy, this is energy, the light's coming through the window is energy, all of those things are all the same in simply different states. Inside of that, it's much easier to see a connection of a possible world that doesn't have that we don't see, and a world that we have here. There's lots of things in the natural world that we don't see that affect us all the time. Magnetism. Magnetism is this incredible thing that We don't see it, we don't feel it, but if we put a little piece of metal sitting on top of a little bit of water, it will point towards the North Pole. That's an incredible thing when you think about that interconnection. Ultraviolet rays, we don't see them at all, we don't feel them at all, but if we stay outside too long, you know, it'll burn our skin. You know, so there's things all the time that we can't measure, that we can't see, that affect us at every moment. What Swedenborg tells us is that the spiritual world expresses itself in the natural world, and the relationship of this expression, the rules of the spiritual world that manifest themselves here, can be described as correspondences. Let's look at a few examples that Swedenborg gives us within his writings, his theological writings. So the heart and lungs correspond to the will and the understanding, respectively. We can kind of see this with common sense. The heart pushes things, it keeps things moving, it keeps everything flowing through the system, just like the will. Your will is what keeps that all pushing forward and moving through it. At the same time, the lungs bring oxygen in from the outside world and process it for our physical survival. Like understanding and knowledge provides oxygen to our spiritual survival. Heat corresponds to love. I think we can all relate to that. So how does this all fit together? So the other thing that when I was a kid, I grew up as a programmer. So I program a lot. So when I think of things, I tend to think of this connection between programming. And the important part of this specifically is an interface. So for those of you, sometimes the interface is a technical word. An interface is something that you interact with. Your car's steering wheel is part of the interface that you use to drive it. It's whatever you're grabbing onto to make it actually go. The buttons on your phone are the interface to get your phone to do whatever it does. You know, suddenly the interface is starting to get very complicated for most of us. It's too complicated for me. The windows that you see on your computer, so when you're playing with your computer and you're moving one window around and everything else, we refer to that as an interface. So this is how you interface, or how you work with your computer. You don't actually go and explicitly do every little piece that the computer wants to do. You simply work with the interface. The interface is the bridge between you and the tool that you're using. While your actions may be simple, the inner workings of that object, whatever that object is, whether it's a car, the computer, or your phone, can be very, very complex. So for me, the relationship looks like the correspondence of code to an interface, you know, from a programmer's point of view. There's a whole set of rules that express themselves in something that we can relate to. For you, there's a computer screen. You move things about and across the screen. Now, there's a whole bunch of code. When you take your little mouse and you click a little window and you move it over here, there is an enormous amount of rules and codes and everything else that under the belly of the computer is making all these calculations, pushing all this stuff around for you to see that move over. When you work with your, I don't know anything about my car. I know that when I turn the key, it hopefully starts making a noise. And then when I push this little button, I push this little button on the floor down, it goes forward. And when I turn this, it goes right. And I turn this, it goes left. I don't understand any of the inner workings of how that actually happens. But I understand how it, I understand what to make it do. And that's what the world, according to Swedenborg, from my vantage point, that the world is kind of an interface. You know, the world that we're in, that, you know, when you look at the spiritual world sitting just below the surface, the spiritual world is this huge thing that's going on. We are in this top little surface of what's actually going on, and this is the interface. We interface with the spiritual world through, you know, all these natural objects, all these little things that we're working with. So I picked this paper up, but there's all kinds of things going on that everything corresponds to something spiritual. When we start to look at all of this, we can start digging into specific areas and start looking at how they correspond to our life or how they correspond to things around us. What's really interesting is we can start to take these and start extrapolating. So we can look at, if we know what this corresponds to and what this corresponds to, we can start thinking spiritually. When we watch how they react in the natural world, we can think about how that occurs in our spiritual life. So for me, one of the most important correspondences, or one of the ones that I enjoy the most, is water. Water represents the truths of faith. As we look at this world, you know, this kind of transforms the way I look at the world. Water permeates everything around us. Most of the Earth's surface is water. Two-thirds of our body is water. We can only live with water for about live without water for about a week. According to Swedenborg, water corresponds, once again, to truths of faith or truths of a spiritual nature. These are truths that nourish our soul, the same way that water nourishes our body. These truths are not just information, but directly related to the truths that come from God. What's interesting to me about this is that when you begin to ponder this correspondence, the connections that you find can deepen your understanding of the nature of the world, both natural and spiritual. So, this is where the science experiment begins. So, here I'm holding some truths of faith. And it's clear. It's pure, or close to pure, anyway. Now I'm going to take a very small amount of something else. So here's the thing, is that this is a very small amount compared to this, right? A little bit of this, a lot of this, and we'll pour this in here. And it only took a very, very small amount of, it smells like grape. It only took a very, very small amount of that to change the entire nature of this. Just like imperfections, a little lie or something a little off. I thought I was going to make it, or the dog ate my paper. Like all that stuff. But a little lie can change. A little lie inserted into an enormous amount of truth, or a little imperfection inserted into an enormous amount of truth, can completely change the nature of that truth. This is what one could start to extrapolate. Now, what's interesting about this as well is that if you look at what's going on here, now how do I get this back to being pure? The way you get water back to being pure is that you heat it. You heat it a lot until it changes state. So the water sits in this state. Now, if I put one of those little circular things and had another thing that came down here, and I added a lot of heat to this water, it would change state into steam. It would go up into this thing and it would come back down, and when it returned, it would be pure again. And if we look at what the correspondence is with that, is that we talked a little earlier, heat corresponds to love. So when you have a truth that is not, this is one way you can think of it when you start thinking about these correspondences, when you have this truth that isn't pure, the way to find out how to get it back to purity is to apply love. And that love then allows it to distill back into the pure truth again. And that is that's one way that we can take this and start to play with it and start to think about how it affects, looking at something that's happening in the natural world and seeing how it can extend how we approach our lives spiritually. Now, for me, this provides hours of enjoyment. you can consider washing, for instance. Washing is taking spiritual truths, the truth from faith, and washing, you're washing, when you use regular water, you're washing dirt off of your body. When you're using spiritual water, you're washing the imperfections that the world leaves on your soul back off of it and leaving it, returning it to a clean state. You can also look at, all this stuff. We can look at how water is so powerful in certain areas that it can cut through stone, how it brings life to everything around us. Now, will all these conclusions that we're figuring out, are they going to be true? Are they going to be the truth? Maybe not. But the more interesting thing about this is that they provide you an opening to explore the world using the natural world to help you explore spiritual understandings. Now, hopefully, after I've said all this stuff and shown you some really, really, really dark grape juice, you'll want to play with this on your own. And the best place for me to play with this, if you go on the internet, there's a place called theheavenlydoctrines.org. And it is a way to search all the writings, and you can say water correspondence, heat correspondence. That's how I came up with a lot of this stuff. So what you want to do is you can play with this, and then it allows you to, when you're looking at the natural world, start thinking about how that stuff interacts. And seeing how it, and allowing it to deepen your understanding of not only the natural world, but also the spiritual world. The process for me doesn't just deepen my knowledge of correspondences and how they interact with the world. It deepens my feeling of connectedness with the spiritual world. seeing this, when I look through this, I see the spiritual world not as a world away, but simply right under the surface.